Good to see you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Carrie, before we get into what we kind of planned we were going to say, I would like to ask you, what are you doing with those horses there?
Resting.
Resting?
Uh-huh. Really, truly resting with my friends.
Yes.
Honestly. This picture was during a 3.5-day class down in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, Mexico's a different culture, different language, so it was pretty intense for me to be able to speak some very broad awareness and wisdom to people who understand, you know, organize thoughts differently.
Right.
So these were moments where I got to go outside and simply become one with the herd, which takes no thought. It takes no effort. It is the opposite of effort.
Ah.
So in these moments, it was total receiving.
Yes.
Simultaneously sharing my being with these dear ones whose consciousness was assisting me to speak to all of the people as well.
That's wonderful.
So it's a team effort.
A team effort,
it
for
is
sure.
It is always a team effort.
Yeah.
Regardless, you can be on the 36th floor of a building and just bring your awareness to how much you love your pug. Your pug is there with you,
that
assisting.
Everything, yeah.
Yes, that it's, yeah.
That picture for me triggered the awareness of my dogs and that they often look at me like this.
Yes.
And let me just show you just, and then we'll get on to you. This is sort of about my dog this morning, but I want to show you in the congregation how my dogs watch television with me, okay?
Yes.
So you be me, and you look out there like you're watching television.
Okay.
And then this is Bartok.
Because they know what's good,
it's
right?
It's so dear. I know. It's just so endearing. I just love it when they do that.
All of that good juju that you're like, you think you're giving to the TV. He's like, okay, I'll have some of that.
Yeah, exactly. All that loving attention, right? Or maybe he wants to prevent me from watching some of the more questionable shows that I watch.
Might be a buffer. It's like, hey, stay where your body
that's
is.
That's right.
It's all going to be okay.
Right. It's not all about, serial killers.
Unless it's Downton Abbey, when, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, so I'm going to start with, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how did you get to be where you are now? Like, who are you, and what happened to you that you have this
Thanks.
Wild job as a
Thanks
whatever you are?
Thanks for the framing, Bonnie.
Yeah, sure.
So what gets me out of bed every day is this longing to know the experience of the truth of love. Show me what's true. Show me what's really true. I have very early awareness of self from infancy, where literally my first memory is watching an infant's hand come into my field of vision and going, okay, I know what that is. I'm back. Yes, we did it. I know exactly what to do this time. So I have this very deep sense of knowing, like, I'm here for what love is. And the journey has taken me through, you know, being a child with that sense of self and then hitting this repeated brick wall of society and what's expected and what a female child is supposed to be, what a smart child is supposed to be, and the performances were expected to find normal. Mm-hmm. And yet the whole time, the bees and, you know, when I was stressed out, I would go lie down in the grass and listen to the music of the grasses and the clover flowers, the insects buzzing, because all of that made sense. I could feel it. And I love what Bill said earlier, that how do we know the truth? We feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what brought me to where I am now is, even through, you know, high school and college and a difficult marriage and all these things that we go through, I was never willing to compromise that longing for what the truth feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just keep stumbling forward, saying, no, this is not truth. I know what truth feels like, so take me there or get me out of here. And it was literally one or the other. I didn't care if I stayed or if I left my body. I'm here for the experience of the truth of love.
Mm. Here for the experience of the truth of love.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds very much like Ishkala, right?
Ishkala, yes.
Ishkala, love is God is love, lover and beloved. Yeah.
It is. And that How do we know that? I mean, we can talk about it. We're mm-hmm. humans. You know, mm-hmm. we have this overabundance of intellectual ability. Mm-hmm. And we can talk. We can use words. Mm-hmm. We can say the word nature. And we can think we're talking about the forest or the ocean or the animals. But my question always comes down to, how does it feel to be you when you engage with the forest, when you go to the forest, when you do touch your dog, when Barty is mm-hmm. right in front of you and mm-hmm. you can't avoid his love, right? What does that feel like?
Yeah.
So regardless of the words we use, what is the sense, what does the communication feel like when we say nature? Mm-hmm. Because that is the non-linear, non-verbal communication that is common to all of life, mm-hmm. regardless of an overabundance of intellect.
So there's a non-linear, non-verbal communication that's part of all of life, and we are part of it, and it is part of us.
We are part of it.
Yeah.
It is part of us,
uh-huh.
yes.
Yeah.
It is, we could call it, if we want to go, you know, the physics direction, we can call it the unified field
uh-huh.
that connects everything. You mm-hmm. are the field. Hugh is the field. I am the field. You are all the field. And as humans, when we, you spoke of the complicatedness and the simplicity.
Yes.
When we use our profound intellectual ability to contemplate the experience of simple. What does simple feel like moving through my body? What is the simplicity that connects us all? You can start to actually watch your own body feel more spacious and open into that experience. And if you, even for a moment, suspend that knee-jerk to understand it, to label it, to talk about it, to prove it to anybody else, before understanding, there is a presence. Mm. And it is that presence that connects us with everything that we would assume is outside of us and call it nature.
Yeah, yeah. Before understanding, there is a presence. Yes, that is. How many people here are really quick to rush to grab at understanding so you know what to do, right? Seems, yeah. Oh, Lonnie's showing her pinky. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we do for those of you who are new, if we don't want to admit something, sometimes we do a show of pinkies instead of a show of hands. this connecting to something before understanding. And as I recall, when we spoke on the phone, we were talking about how many of life's problems, if not all of life's problems, come through a disconnect, mm-hmm. a disconnect with nature, a disconnect with perhaps what you're calling today, that place of being prior to understanding. You want to say something about the disconnect a little bit? And maybe how to reconnect.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I might talk
that's
for
like
2 days about that.
That's your favorite thing. Well, we don't got 2 days, but you know.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Okay.
You can like give me the shepherd's
the hook. Yeah. Okay.
The disconnect. So the truth is none of us is actually disconnected. If you were truly disconnected, your body would not be animated. So we get to ask this question, so what is it that actually animates me? And what does that feel like before I try to understand it, before I try to label it or describe it? And when we do perceive the disconnect, it's because we are going sort of by a default into that brilliant intellect, that overabundance of intellect that only our species is endowed with. That's like Greg Braden, you know who Greg Braden is? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He talks about the difference between humanity and the rest of life as that humanity is really the only species endowed with an overabundance of anything. Mm-hmm. Nature doesn't really give more than what's necessary for the flourishment of every individual and every species or group or family or herd, right? Mm-hmm. So the disconnect comes when we start with our intellect, identifying with the intellect that has been identified with everything that we think is required, that we can do. You know, we can't deny that we have this life that humanity has created, and it's wonderful, it's comfortable, don't get me wrong. You know, I like, you know, 5-star restaurants and things like that. But the brilliance and the divinity comes when we begin to see it for what it is without judging it. when I can look out at the world that I actually enjoy, when I can allow myself to enjoy the world that I enjoy, and look at it and say, you know what, that was created with the abundance of human intellect, and I am happening before any of that was built. I am part of the life that supports the environment, that lets the enjoyment happen from this structure, that creation, from everything that we do together as humans. The way that I have been shown by the ponies, mm-hmm. you know, horses and I are like this, and they're the ones that have basically taught me everything. But when I've watched horses recover from a trauma, recover from a stress, they didn't go into their head and try to reason with themselves and use psychological tactics, you know. What horses do is move their bodies. They feel what their body feels like. They shake if they need to. They roll if they need to. But their awareness goes to their physicality, because their physicality is how they relate to their outside world. And as I grew in my awareness, and since age 11, I've been asking horses very directly, show me how you do it, you know? Mm-hmm. People are bad to you, and they dominate you, and they subjugate you, and they enslave you, and they don't see your beauty, and yet you keep giving. You keep giving and giving and giving and giving. How do you do it? I wanted to be a human with humans the way horses are with humans. So I kept asking, and over many years, the wisdom distilled itself into the absence of judgment. Mm-hmm. And when a horse connects with their body and just says, here's how it feels to be me, I need to roll right now, and they roll, you know, that's just being honest. They're not judging that what happened is bad. They're simply saying, oh, I could really use a roll right now.
I could use a roll.
A roll.
But a different kind of roll.
A different kind of roll.
Yeah.
I mean, like rolling in the
dirt.
I
got you.
I don't even know what else that would be. I'm
well,
so like.
like a roll, like to eat. You know, like a bagel.
Well, that would be all right,
yeah, yeah.
too.
Okay.
Yeah. That works too. A little cinnamon.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Yeah. Okay.
So as the wisdom started coming through me, because I kept asking, give me a way to assist humanity. And because not everybody can feel the animals the way that I do, I discovered. It seemed obvious to me because I can feel everyone. And it seemed obvious to me everybody else could feel everyone too, which is not the case, I learned. Mm-hmm. So how can I assist people? What does it take to bring people's brilliant intellect into a place where their intuitive innate wisdom, the intuitive intellect, has a greater seat at the table? And there's a very simple way. I can walk you through it.
Yes,
it just
I'd
takes
love to.
10 seconds.
I'd love to do it. Let me stop you for one sec, just to kind of anchor this in some of the things that we talk about here.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we talk about is this principle of identification, and it sounds to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm often wrong, but I won't take it personally. I won't judge you for it.
Oh, I appreciate
that. I'll just roll. Okay.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
If it gets too stressful, we'll just have a roll on the ground.
Okay. But one of the things we talk about is, Joel Goldsmith is a metaphysical teacher who is a contemporary of Ernest Holmes, our founder, and he talked a lot about the principle of identification. I believe that many other spiritual teachers talk about that too. And it sounds to me, Carrie, that what you're saying is that through probably no fault of our own, just through sort of getting swept up in the business of being human, we over-identify with this intellectual structure that we carry with us always. We over-identify it at the expense of identification with this underlying beautiful current of life or love or grace or gratitude, that something that is beyond names, some type of current that actually connects us rather than separates us. Did I get that right?
Oh, it sounds lovely. Yes,
okay, good.
I'm with you the whole way.
Good, okay, great.
I will only keep fanning that.
Okay, flame. Good, keep fanning me, yeah.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
So now, but before I stopped you, you said that you were going to walk us through a process that helps us do what?
That helps organize your intellect.
Okay.
Because often, okay, you correct me if I feel off here.
Okay.
But the mind is often like a 3-year-old, right? who just wants to help.
Oh, no, you're not off at okay. all. At least in my case. I don't know. Anybody? Yeah.
And so, yeah. right. you know, if say you're making pancakes, right?
Right.
And it really helps to let your three-year-old know, you know what, the eggs and the flour and the milk and the sugar and the vanilla, they go in the bowl. And if you don't really tell the three-year-old that everything's supposed to be in the bowl, you're going to end up with batter all over the walls because they're going to make it up for themselves,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what we can do is, with friendship, with kindness to the mind, we can say, hey, buddy, thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for all your thoughts and your brilliance. But right now, you got one job, and that job is watch the body. And so, truly, it's a tool that has been given to me called Mind Watch the Body that is very simple. It's acknowledging that your mind is brilliant. You get to be right about everything, but uh-huh. for 10 seconds, let's bring the awareness right to where the physicality is.
Okay. You want to do that for us?
Let's do that.
Okay.
And so it is as simple, and here's a fun way to play with it. We can all be in kindergarten for a second. Recommend kindergarten. Like, this is kindergarten right there, okay? And so if you don't look down at your hands, mm-hmm. and all of you guys can play along with us if you like. If you don't look down at your hands, how do you know if they're touching something?
Just feeling.
Exactly.
Feeling, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have some words for feel, like pressure,
uh-huh.
temperature, mm-hmm. right? Because is the temperature where your hands touch the same or different
no,
from the outside?
It's a little hotter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay? So we have pressure, we have temperature. And then when your skin's touching, is that like sandpaper? Is it like wood?
It's actually none of the above.
Excellent.
It just feels kind of squishy and a little moist.
Brilliant.
Where they're touching, but
exactly.
not on the top. It's a little moist where they're touching.
Beautiful. So, mind, thank you so much for finding the body.
Thank you, mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So right there, let your mind travel right to where your hands are communicating sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to tune anything else out, but for 10 seconds, and I'll count. You don't even have to count.
Okay.
For 10 seconds, just prioritize the sensation, and we'll see what life feels like after that 10 seconds of very, very simple mind, watch the body, right, where the hands say, oh, yeah, I'm touching something.
Are we counting?
Yeah, I'm counting. Well,
okay.
I'll start over.
Okay.
And very, very simple. Don't work at it. Because the hands are happy to tell you. 3 more seconds. Perfect. So now, without necessarily abandoning that, what, if anything, do you notice? What, if anything, is different from 12 seconds ago?
I would say a deeper feeling of gratitude. It's like my hands communicated with my heart. Mm. You know, mm. my hands and getting all emotional. My hands informed my heart of how beautiful it is to be alive mm-hmm. and how grateful I am to have hands. And if I were going to go further, this might pop it up into the head, but then I could think about all the things that I get to do with my hands
mm-hmm.
and how much fun it is.
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't only have hands, I have feet.
We have feet.
And
we
I have a nose.
Yes.
And I have a knee.
Absolutely.
Two knees.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in those 10 seconds, how much did you feel like judging anybody?
Oh, I didn't feel like judging anybody. I felt, I didn't have any, there was nobody to judge. Just the pleasure of having my hands. It's, oh man, it's why I picked that reading, the Ishkala reading. It was totally Ishkala, that my hands are love, lover and beloved right
yes.
then. And I don't need to define it. Don't need to say anything more about it. It's just, they're just there and they are fantastic. Fantastic.
I love it. Here's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
The presence we talk about, the presence of the divine,
yeah.
the presence of truth, the presence of self, big self, we can experience it because we have a physicality. This mm-hmm. is our instrument.
Mm.
And often the mind will say, well, I can't find my body. I'm afraid to be in my body. A lot of people have a hard time. They feel unsafe in their body.
Yeah.
But when we can help the mind have these little gentle experiences of actually when even just 10 seconds, after 10 seconds, you can go back to judging everything if you want to. But in this 10 seconds, it's a friendly invitation for the mind to actually rediscover what the body is. And the body communicates, well, here I am, through sensation. Mm-hmm. And that's as simple as touch. Mm-hmm. But once our mind is organized to value, to recognize and value that little bit of information as actually, you know, valuable information, we prioritize it. That's when we make ourselves available to the greater experience of that more, that less tangible thing called presence.
Right.
Or divinity.
Right.
Or movement. And you know presence because you feel it. You know truth because you feel it. And this mind watch the body that I learned from being with animals so much, what it does is help organize your awareness so that you're available to the experience of presence. And I tell people all the time, like, don't save this for really critical moments. Mm-hmm. Play with it in non-critical moments, like standing in line at the DMV is perfect. You know, I'm standing in line and I can't really control anything, so mind, watch the body, bringing my awareness really simply to the hands to say, hands, what do you got going on right now? Knees, what do you got going on? Oh, fantastic. Where am I? Oh, there's my shoulder. You guys are tight right now. Okay. But when you play with it more and you watch, you bring your awareness to the muscles, watch them say thank you. Oh, you're here. Mind watch the body sets you up for the experience of actually occupying your physicality, which is the point of being this divine being. We didn't come here to avoid our bodies. We came here to occupy our bodies with the highest level of divinity that we can be available to in any moment. And you know, it's not a contest. I'm not trying to be like more divine than Bonnie. It's like, I don't think that's possible, but.
Yes, it is. Thank you for that, but it's.
But the truth of it is when each of us plays and really play, like this is kindergarten simple, where's my body? There it is, it feels awesome. Or sometimes it feels yucky, but when I let it feel how it feels and I don't judge it, yeah. I divinitize it. And the body can, in that very moment, begin restructuring. It can change its chemistry, it can change its movement. And when I engage this amazing intellect with kindness and the absence of judgment, then the intellect starts finding for itself the value in this whole heart thing. Mm-hmm. In the feeling of expansiveness, even when I'm in an outer situation that seems to be applying pressures otherwise. I make myself available to recognize the pressure as something constructed by a system other than me, other than divinity, mm-hmm. other than this nature that when we make ourselves available to it, we make ourselves available to feel that same nature in one another. And when I make myself available to that, I amplify that field for all.
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge part of the teaching here is that if we do it for one, we do it for everybody. As you do anything, you do everything. Love your neighbor as you love yourself is literally as you love yourself, you are loving your neighbor at the same time.
It's
right?
So completely
right.
True. Yes.
And so honoring the body is honoring the body for the body of the cosmos, right?
It honors yeah. my capacity to acknowledge the truth of it. Mm-hmm. I know the truth because I feel it. I don't have to be seeking some aspect of divinity as if I haven't yet achieved it.
Right.
I can simply mind watch the body 10 seconds at a time and just watch what's different after that 10 seconds from before. And those little 10 seconds, they add up, not in a linear, not 1 + 1 = 2, but 1 + 1 = 11. Because it's so innate. It's so innate to be aware of the expression of your own presence through your cells.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, there's a million ways we can complicate talking about that. And it's,
of course.
You know, there's a million ways for thousands of years it's been taught through meditation and
right.
through yogas and through mindfulness. But a lot of, you know, what I have found is people can go into their intellect and fancify lots of things, but then you put them in, you know, you send them home to the family for Christmas and everything clamps back up again. And so how can we empower ourselves to have access to be self-empowered in any moment to go, okay, wait a minute, I can feel myself getting tense and leaving the room. Mind, watch the body. And it creates this beautiful friendship between the mind, the body, and the heart.
Mind, watch the body.
Mind, watch the body.
So that sounds like the
heart center open.
One of the things to, that's a take home, right? Is mind, watch the body. And can we also take home with ourselves that this really does make a difference? You know, that's one of the challenges that I face in leading this church all the time is my own sense of identification that it has to be big and it has to be complicated in order for it to be meaningful. And I've had so many spiritual teachers tell me that that's not true, and I tell myself that it's not true, and I keep going back to that place because the whole human race consciousness is going to that place of, no, it has to be bigger, it has to be better. Bigger is better. Complicated is much better than simple. But what if we were just for 10 seconds to believe that it can be as simple as this? It can be as simple as mind, watch the body, and relaxing, and trusting and knowing that our capacity to have the mind, watch the body, to sense the temperature in our hands, to see what our hands have to teach us, to see what our toes need to teach us, to see whatever, our smile, our yawn, our frown, whatever it is, whatever we're feeling, to recognize that in other people. What if that really is? What if that really is the capacity to bring forth great healing and great transformation on this planet, no matter what's going on the outside? You know, Carrie and I were talking on the phone the other day getting ready for this interview, and we were talking about volcanoes, and I was talking about a lot of gross, disgusting nursing symptoms that are similar to volcanoes, and that it's all part of something. It's all part of something bigger. It's all just part of what you would call nature. I would call it nature, but I'd also call it God. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff that we teach about how there is only God, there's only one life. That life is God's life. And the poem that I quote frequently that says, nothing exists outside the walls of this place called existence, that means everything is part of existence. And because everything is part of existence, everything is part of that which, the source of existence, which is God. You know, when I spoke with Carrie, we said that nature is like God. We could call nature God. And then we were saying the source of nature is nature. The source of God is God. God and nature are one. God and creation are one. Spirit and matter are one. Void and form are one. Spirit and flesh are one. Go ahead.
And I love the topic is nature includes you.
Yes.
And I would actually flip that coin and say nature has never excluded you.
Right.
And we can feel that.
Yeah.
So the trick, because we have, you know, this amazing intellect, is to make ourselves accessible to my own self-validation of what that feels like. What mm-hmm. does it feel like? Mm-hmm. How do I know? You know, and like, please don't take my word for it. Try it out yourself and empower yourself to even be available for a moment. Like, if that were true, what would that feel like? And ask the question and then just go wash dishes or something. Mm-hmm. You know, don't make it any sort of a big thing. But because you've asked the question, you've made yourself available. And that, I think, is the beauty of God, the beauty of divinity. Ask, and it will always be given.
Yes.
And so when often these intangible questions we ask, we're sitting up here waiting for, you know, a computer printout of the
yes.
answer.
The hairy arm with the post-it, that's how I call it.
Right?
Yeah. So
what if instead when we ask a question, we go, oh, show me the truth of this, and then, all right, mind. Find the body, because that's where the information comes even before it turns into a thought. I will feel it before I even think it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have that friendship between the mind and the body, the heart opens and we become accessible to our own divinity.
Yeah.
And in that accessibility, we share our presence, we share ourselves with others. And me sharing myself can only amplify the truth and the beauty of you.
Yeah.
This is what animals have taught me.
You know, and I have to say that I think that this message is essential, meaning that it's of the essence, but also that it's essential in terms of necessary, in that in many, many teachings, you know, I think about Christianity where for a long time people discounted the body, you know. Not all Christians, but in some of the more rigid, I don't know, I hate to put labels on it, but just discounted the body as a source of spirituality, that it was... I think I've talked about mortifying the flesh in here, you know. I'm doing a little whip action here, but mortifying the flesh, that people think that the flesh is bad. Or, you know, even in metaphysical teachings, it's, this denomination was called Science of Mind, and I know later on Ernest Holmes wished that it was called Science of Mind and Spirit, that he had called it that. But what if it's science of mind, heart, and body, head, heart, and hands? You know, what if it's all of those things? I think it really is. We just don't call it that. But it's up to us, listening to Carrie's words of wisdom and being divinely ordained to be here together this morning, to bring that into our consciousness, if we choose. Again, we don't have to, but if we choose, just imagine the good that it can do in our lives, and not only in our lives, but in the lives of everyone, just to be willing to honor the body, you know, honor the body and keep it holy.
I love that.
Yeah.
The science of wholeness.
The science of wholeness.
I am healthy, whole, and complete. Now show me what that feels like.
Yeah.
I want to know what that feels like walking around, and maybe I get distracted. Okay, mind, watch the body. This is where we're going to find it.
And I am healthy, whole, and complete also transcends any conditions. Like, you can have a disease and still be healthy, whole, and complete.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I didn't hardly ask any of my questions, but I'm glad we talked, and it's about time we're done.
Thank you.
It's been such an honor to speak with you.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to have something to share. So
thank you.
Thank you
so much. And Carrie will be in the social hall afterwards if you want to speak with her further.
Absolutely.
If that's okay with you. And let's just give her some love, and then I'll pray.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much.